You know, communication, it's been said, is the key to marriage. It certainly is a key to a good, loving relationship in marriage. It's good in the workplace. It's necessary on the team that you have, the sports team. It's true in your workplace. It's true in every part of your life and your family. If you want to be successful, you got to learn to be a communicator in a way that you really connect. There are four types of communicators in marriage. And I'm going to tell you what they are in a moment, and you can kind of set where you are in those one of four. And I'm going to show you today how to be intentional in making communication work for your marriage. If you're finding it difficult to do that, I hope you'll join us today. I'm Dr. Randy, along with Jennifer and Stephen, and some guests who are joining us today as well, as we're live here in our Intentional Living Studios in beautiful Tucson, Arizona today. And I'm going to tell you what the four types are, and you can decide which one you fit in just a minute.
Dr. Randy, this is Chris, and I had the most profound experience. By my own admission, I normally listen to the music on your station, but I caught you making a comment that hit so powerfully home to me, I have been shaken days later. In fact, it has so profoundly given me insight into a marriage of over 30 years, I'm pretty much shell-shocked. And that comment was, when your spouse is non-communicative and non-emotional, that spouse is the most powerful in the relationship. So when I heard Dr. Randy say this, it unlocked this mysterious piece of, wait a minute, I can stop pounding myself against the wall. Maybe, just maybe, I'm not this controlling, demanding, on my knees, begging, crying, screaming, writing letters. I have done everything conceivable in my power to get him to open up. Never once understanding until Dr. Randy shared that that's because he has all the power when he is withdrawn. I never saw that as a powerful position. I saw myself as the controlling one.
Yeah, lessons learned. Listen, there are four types of communicators in marriage. A type one communicator is probably the highest and best. It's a couple that has unity. I mean, they're able to, maybe you can communicate even times when you disagree, but you talk, you work things out. There's a sense of unity in your marriage. There's purpose, there's direction, there's intimacy, there's closeness, you know, and even the Bible tells us in Psalm 131, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to live in unity, right? You can only imagine it's even better when a husband and wife live in unity. That's a beautiful thing. Maybe you kind of reflect in driving down the road with a smile on your face today, saying, hey, that's us. We're not perfect, but I would say we're type one. If you are, you can sit back with your seatbelt on if you're driving and just enjoy the ride and pray for some others who are struggling today. Because some of you are more of a type two, what I call type two communicator in marriage. You agree. I mean, there's unity in terms of your values, your beliefs, pretty much. You're kind of like 95% there on most everything, but you don't talk about it. You don't communicate. You've just lived together maybe so long, you just live without ever talking. And as a result, maybe there's some things that could even get better, more intimate, closer in the marriage as you share with each other things going on. My wife and I have been, I would say we're closer in one and two ourselves. Don and I have been married a long time. We know each other. We can almost read each other's minds. You get to that place in marriage, but you still need to talk sometimes and communicate things that need to be talked about, worked out. So we make sure we're on the same page. There's agreement, but we're not sometimes talking as much as we should. Maybe that's you. If you're a type two communicator, it's an easy fix. Just get intentional. Put it on the calendar. Say once a week, we're going to have lunch together or sit down after the kids are in bed and whatever, and just talk about the things we have on our list and bring things up to date and clean. What we do is we clean the desk off, right? We do this in the ministry. Staff are having meetings throughout the week just to clear the deck. Make sure everybody's on the same page. Everybody's going in the same direction. We're all in the same agreement. We're all heading the same direction. But if we don't talk about it, sometimes we end up in a cul-de-sac going around in circles. And that can happen in marriage. So that's sort of a type two communicator. Type one, full unity. Type two, agreement, but not talking. It gets more difficult as we go to type three. You communicate maybe a lot, but you don't agree. I mean, maybe there's a lot of talking going on, and you really understand where each other stand, but you just don't stand on the same spot. You don't agree maybe about kids, about God, about money, and a lot of different things. Maybe a few things, but not everything. You know, the Bible says in Amos 3, how can two walk together unless they be in agreement? And I would say if you're a type 3 communicator in marriage, grow up enough to sit down and say, we better start agreeing on a few things, even if we agree to disagree, but we're going to get on the same page because your kids are going to eat you alive if they see that you guys don't agree on some basics. If you don't agree on money, for instance, you're going to have nothing but problems, even though you talk about it and you don't agree. Come to some agreement on things that matter, even if you have to agree to disagree. Because if you don't, you know exactly where you are today is frustrating. It's fixable. And I would encourage you, if you're both Christians, this is a simple fix. Get back to what the Bible teaches. Get intentional. We talk about the things that God intends for our lives, which are good. And when we align our daily actions and behaviors and habits to those things, better things happen. If you're not on the same page spiritually, that's going to be more difficult. I understand that. But I would say to the believer, understand this, so you can live as, you know, live with that person, understanding they have a different worldview, but to the extent possible, and by the way, we're not violating core principles here. We're not talking about, hey, just agree to things that you shouldn't agree to in your marriage. We're not talking about addiction and abuse and all this kind of stuff. We're talking about some of the things that can happen when two people simply have different values in a marriage. To come to some agreement. Why? For the benefit of the kids and for each other. And pray like crazy. Be the person that sets the example as a believer in that relationship with your spouse, with respect and love. Not easy. I know this is not an easy thing I'm sharing, but it's a reality. I even hate to go to type four because this one is most difficult. This is when there's no communication and no agreement. Just pure stubbornness. I'm not even going to talk to you about it. I'm not even going to agree to disagree. We're just going to put up walls. I think of that Proverb 12 that says, a stubborn fool. Boy, that's a powerful word, isn't it? Maybe it's you. I don't know. Maybe it's the spouse, both of you. But a stubborn fool considers his own way the right one. You know somebody like that? I'm right. You're wrong. I'm done. A stubborn fool considers his own way the right one, but a person who listens to advice is a wise person. All right. How about you? I want to open the phone line. We need help. We want to help people today. Whatever type you're in, you know where you are. Let me ask you this. What's one thing that's helped you to talk, to communicate, when it ain't so easy in your marriage? How have you handled it? What's something that has helped you to build more unity, more closeness, more survival, if you please, I guess, in the relationship. 888-888-1717. The line is now open. Let's go. Only have a short time. 888-888-1717.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Number two is accountability. Accountability is key. We need each other. I would encourage you, if you've made a decision to develop a new habit in your life, you find someone that you can be accountable to. Someone who will hold you accountable. How are you doing on your journey of developing this new attitude or behavior in your life? Number three, just beware of the triggers to your habits. You know, habits don't happen in a vacuum. There's usually a trigger. It could be a time of day. Do you find that a certain time during the day, it's almost like the clock tolls at a certain time, and you find yourself responding in a certain way? Some habits occur as a result of a smell. Have you ever noticed that sometimes habits have triggers with certain people? Have you found yourself, when you're around a certain person, having a certain way of thinking and responding almost without thought to that person? So just take some time to be aware of the triggers that can set off some of the habits, because I'm telling you, those triggers are still going to be there. They're still going to be those same people. They're still going to be the same smell. They're still going to be the same time of day.
Excerpts from the habit lesson this month. And boy, habits are sticky stuff, aren't they? I mean, they get stuck to us and it's a hard thing to rip off. Have you ever noticed if you put some sticky Band-Aid on and you wear it for a few days and then you pull it off and you throw it away, but the sticky spot still exists on your arm? And it takes maybe a little rubbing alcohol or cleanser or something to get it. And even then, you can still feel it maybe for a few days. That's kind of like habits. You can rip it off by changing it, but I'll tell you what, if you get close to it, it's easy to get stuck to it again. The lesson this month, it's our member-exclusive lesson up on our website for our community of support family. It's just really a powerful, practical, step-by-step process of understanding habits and how to change them, how to bring them into alignment with God's intention for His glory and your benefit. So I want to say thank you to our members. Thank you for your support. Your monthly ongoing support makes a big difference. And let me just say this. If you're not a part of the team right now, can I invite you to slip in and join us today? We really could use you. We need you. We want this community to continue to grow of people who are saying, I get this thing of living intentional. I'm not perfect at it, but I want to hear more of this spread to people who need it, including myself. Okay? You can join us. Call 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717, or go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Today, we're talking about marriage communication, and what's interesting is we can measure, based on the response, how many people calling in and so on, what's going on. And I find it curious today, because the lines have been more quiet than normal. And it says one of two things. Either we're so discouraged in our communication, I don't even know where to begin. I'm just going to shut this off because I'm overwhelmed. Or I have no solution. You know, I can't contribute to the show today because I'm in the middle of it. And either case, this is an important, in fact, so important that books have been written, one with the title that a communication is the key to a satisfying, loving Christian marriage. And communication, it really is nothing more than message sent, message received, and even more powerful when there's unity in doing that. You know, you don't want your pilot of the airplane you're on communicating with the ground where they're about to land to have a disagreement on where they should put the plane down. Now, there may be a little bit different ways of doing different things, but the reality is we want that plane on that runway at that point. And this is true in our marriage and family, to get on the same page when it comes to where do we want to land our financial life, our marriage life, our parenting life, our retirement life, our spiritual life. And it comes down to communication. So the question again is, what one thing that you're doing that has helped you faced sometimes the difficult communication moments? 888-888-1717. Amber, all right, you're up first there in Georgia. What have you learned about this communication thing?
My husband and I have started a focus to be better communicators together, because our partnership is, I hear you, but not right now. Uh-huh. And that typically means, like, if we're angry or we're frustrated and we want to have a productive conversation, but we're in our feelings and without exploding or ignoring our partner, we've kind of like implemented this, like, I'm off. I'm not in the best space right now to have a positive conversation. We say, I hear you. I hear you. I promise I would love to have this conversation, but the conversation won't be productive right now. Let's pause, and then I'll come back to you when I'm in a much level space. Ideally, you know, we can just turn our angry or upset emotions off. It's not realistic. It's something we actively pray for. But doing that has helped us, like, help each other realize we're not ignoring you. And we just want to have a productive conversation. And just right now is not the best time to do that.
How has that helped you guys?
Oh, it definitely, I mean, it's not perfect. We don't always implement it every single time. Just to be candid, I know sometimes people say, this works every time for us. But it's a habit that we're trying to consistently 100% of the time do, but we're human. It helps the blow-ups, and it helps me personally. A trigger or an upsetting thing for me is if I feel like I'm not being heard or listened to. And my husband has his own things of similar things, but us saying that says, I hear you, I'm not ignoring you, but just not right now is good. So it tends to blow ups, and it just reassures that I hear you, and I'm on the same team. And I keep saying I hear you over and over again, because that's a big thing for a lot of people, is you don't want to be ignored.
Well, absolutely. It's not now, but certainly going to come. A lot of people say not now, but mean never. And what you're saying is not now, but we will when the emotional energy has reduced a little bit.
Yeah, and we are very consistent with, if we say not now, we make sure to, we're very consistent, at least on that part. Once we start the step one, it's usually 30 minutes, an hour, sometimes later in the day. Okay, I'm ready to have a conversation. Are you in a good headspace to have this conversation now? And it makes the conversation go much better, and you're not going to lash out and say something that you don't intend to say.
That's right. Yeah, thinking about your headspace, I'll tell you what, there's some truth to that, isn't there, Jennifer? Getting the headspace in the right place. I tell people, think twice and speak once. And sometimes it needs to do exactly what Amber said. You just got to have that time out. You got to back off. You've got to be intentional in saying, you know, I know right now, this moment, this is not a godly response that I'm going to come up with here. And I need to think about this and pray about it. That's why one of the best ways for couples is just to have a scheduled time. Maybe it's once or twice a week. Maybe it's after dinner, after the kids go to bed, whatever. But it's scheduled and planned, and you keep a list. And that can be very, very productive. All right. Thank you. Let's go to Priscilla in Arizona. What have you learned about this communicating when things maybe are a little tough?
A habit that me and my husband have been working on is our tone of voice, the way that we speak to each other. We realize that we sometimes, in just saying things, something as simple as, you know, did you do the dishes or can you take care of that? Our tone can be kind of harsh.
Yeah.
And that causes arguments that for no reason. So we've been working on that, and it seems to have really brought a lot of peace in our marriage.
Interesting.
Yeah, even if sometimes we do mess up and find ourselves speaking in a harsh tone, we double back and, you know, be like, you know what, I apologize. That was kind of harsh in the way I spoke to you.
Now, do you both wrestle with that, or one more than the other?
We both wrestle with it. We both realize that we grew up in households where our parents were kind of harsh in their tone to us as well. So it's a habit that we noticed in our childhood, and I think we kind of picked up on it. But we're trying to just break that cycle, and towards our kids as well. We could be kind of harsh in telling them, you know, you need to get your chores done and things like that. So we've really come a long way with that.
Yeah. What difference has it made?
It's brought such a peace in our household, and it's helped us avoid unnecessary arguments. And it's just a nice environment to be in. And it's opened up our communication and being able to take accountability and say sorry. Go back and be like, you know what, I made a mistake. I was harsh in my tone to you, so yeah. I apologize.
Yep.
So it's also gotten us in the habit of apologizing to each other also.
Which is important, absolutely. All right, thank you. Appreciate the call there, Priscilla. You're welcome to join in. What's one thing that you have learned that's helped you in communicating in your marriage to make your day a little better and maybe resolving some issues in the process, some breakthrough things that can help others who are needing some help? That's what intentional living is all about, as we help each other. 888-1717 is the number. I'd love to have you join in. One thing that's made a difference. What do you do that helps?
Are the habits shaping your life making you stronger or holding you back? In Dr. Randy's teaching titled Habits, you'll learn how to identify the habits shaping your life and intentionally replace unhealthy patterns with godly habits that lead to lasting change.
What one habit do you have right now you'd like to eliminate in your life? When we think of five essential areas of life, faith, family, health, finances, and work, and you had to pick one habit that you know is not building strength into your life, what would it be?
Create new habits this year and support intentional living with a monthly gift. When you do, you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message and get unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. Don't miss out on this special opportunity. Give now and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
You know, when you support the Intentional Living Ministry and you're helping us take a message that says being intentional doesn't get you saved, doesn't get you to heaven. That's by grace. We are saved through faith and that not of ourselves. Paul says it is a gift of God. Yet, he goes on to say quickly in the next verse, verse 9, man, you're a workman. I mean, you're a masterpiece. You're made by God. It's like an artwork that he's done. You're unique. You got your own unique fingerprint. And then he goes on to say, and you have been made, and I've been made for good works. And good works, by the way, just go ahead and check it out. A good work in your marriage is just following what the Bible says about being patient and loving and communicating and respect. And these are good things, and God gets the glory. And you may be, it may be difficult to do, but these are the things that will make a difference intentionally. Those are good works. And I believe that we get credit for that. And we should, in terms of our marriage too, even if your spouse doesn't respond the way you'd like them or think they should. But it's learning to be intentional in communicating with your spouse. Thank you to each person, each individual, each couple, each business listening, supporting, praying for, and keeping intentional living going. Thank you. You can be a part of it too. Call, talk to our team. They'll give you all the info at 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717, press number 2, or go to theintentionallife.com.
Hello, what works for my wife and I in our marriage is after our evening meal, we have a quiet time where we sit together in the living room, we look at each other and make eye contact, and we talk about the highlights of our day, what went well, and we talk about our plans for the next day, and we just tell each other we love each other, and I think that's the most important thing, is making a special time to just talk and to look and to listen. Thank you.
All right, very good. Setting time, you know, you're not going to do it because TV and scanning on your social media and all these other really important things will get in the way. Come on. Isn't that true? Or walking the dog, which is always a nice thing. But, you know, come on. Saying that we're going to put communicating at the top of the list is one of the things we do in our marriage. That's important. All right, let me go to Grace in Michigan. Hi, Grace. How you doing? Hello, Grace.
Hi, I'm pretty good.
Good.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you for your call. What have you learned about this thing of communication in marriage?
So with me and my partner, we have decided that we set rules about how we communicate with each other.
What kind of rules?
Because we're both very sensitive people. We are not allowed to insult each other and call each other names. That's one of our rules.
Yep.
And we have made discussions about how we talk to each other, like the words that we use or the vocal tone, and when we address our problems.
And what difference has that made?
To feel comfortable approaching each other.
So it helps you when you communicate. How do you? What happens when you have a disagreement and you're kind of really emotionally engaged? How do you handle it?
We take a minute, and that's the first step. And then, depending on how upset we are, then we try to conquer it, and we follow those rules. We don't raise our voice. Mm-hmm. That's number one. And we don't call each other names. And our main focus is to validate each other's feelings and to not say phrases like, I get it or I understand, because that often makes my partner feel like he's not heard and not understand, not understood.
Now, you said earlier you both are kind of sensitive people, so it's kind of a easy touch to set you guys off toward each other?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. because of our parents and the way that we were raised and the way that they communicated with each other and with us, we're both sensitive and we both have at times felt unheard.
Yeah.
So
do you have set times when you talk, or just, I mean, anytime you do this, you got to be thinking, do you feel like you're walking around in eggshells in your marriage when it comes to talking to each other, or is it pretty, pretty fluid?
Recently I've had the problem where I felt like I've been walking on eggshells, but that's more so because there's been a lot of stress right now. Usually that's not the case, but we don't have set times that we talk, but we don't go to bed angry at each other either. So if we have a problem with each other, we get it out the same day, unless we specifically say, you know, we're going to talk about this tomorrow, but neither of us is going to sleep well if we do that. So we try not to do that.
Yeah, that's good. You know, when you talk about rules, I like that. I would make sure on the rule, though, that we have, that we're not going to leave things unsaid that need to be said. Because it's easy to set rules, say we're going to be kind to each other, we're going to be gentle with each other. And those are important, by the way. That's biblical. We're to respect one another and so on, encourage one another. But we're also to speak the truth in love. And there are times when we have to confront issues. Something's out of whack in our relationship, or our marriage, and our family. It could be spending, it might be kids, whatever. And we got to have a little confrontation too. But even rules there would be, hey, we're going to focus on the solution, the problem, and the solution, and not on you and me. You know, we may be part of the problem, but there's a problem out there. And how can the two of us get on the same page and resolve this thing together? And ultimately, for those of us who are wanting to be intentional in Christ and bringing Him glory, we ask the question, what one thing could I do here in this situation? What one thing do we need to do in this situation as a couple with this situation that'll bring glory to God and benefit to us or family, kids, or whatever we're talking about? Are you kidding me? That's the theme sending me out of here? You are so pushy over there, Jennifer. All right, that computer says you're gone in 45 seconds. But I tell you what, I'm not gone. I'm here in the studio. We're going to continue to take your calls. We're going to record a show. Let's just continue on and do this, and we'll air it tomorrow. What's one thing you've learned that's helped you build more unity, closeness, intimacy in your marriage that's been helpful for you? One thing. Tell us what it is. Love to hear your story at 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717. Stephen will get your call. We'll get you lined up. We'll get that recorded, and we'll listen to it together tomorrow. How's that sound? I'm Dr. Randy. Thank you for your prayers and support. God bless you. Be intentional in Jesus' name. This is Intentional Living, a ministry of Intentional Life Media.